Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another week here on the Locked On Braves podcast, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, our friends at Tegna and the Odyssey Group. Locked On Braves and the Locked On Podcast Network as a whole is here dedicated to giving you every bit of information you need to rule the roost, so to speak, in terms of your fandom. Sometimes you just don't have the time to do all the work that you want to do to be as informed as you want to be. Don't worry about it. All you got to do is follow one of the many Locked On podcast shows dedicated to your favorite teams across all of the major sports, whether that be baseball, basketball, college or NFL football, or even hockey, and you can be kept up to date with everything your teams do and all of the latest information running around for your teams and their minor league systems or what have you. Just follow along on your favorite platforms, whether that be Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, I don't know, wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe, and you can be kept up to date whenever a new episode drops. Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every single day. Okay, so big news as the Braves managed to sweep the hapless Washington Nationals. A couple of the games were a little bit closer than they really should have been, but a sweep is a sweep is a sweep. And not only did the Braves get a sweep, they now find themselves alone in first place in the division as the Braves are now sitting pretty, I will say, in the first place position as Philadelphia managed to lose yesterday. The Braves hung on for a very close 6-5 victory. The Braves now sitting at a healthy 62-56. One game up in the division ahead of the Phillies, who are off today. So the Braves get started with their series against Miami with a chance to really build the lead out. And for the rest of the division, is not good for them. They're just going to come back to bite the Mets and the Phillies. That the Braves were able to play as bad as they could possibly have played for two quarters of this season to date, and yet they did not bury them. And now you have the Braves alone in first place. I've been saying all year that once the Braves get up over 500, they're not going to dip back down below it. And right now you're seeing them play mostly good baseball. Having a little bit of issues here in the last two games anyway with the pitching. I'd like to see that get ironed out. As we saw, Kyle Muller got beat around and he got sent back down. That's part of the thing with Kyle Muller. It's just kind of happened with him. He's a guy that I've talked about it before. He didn't have premium command, so those kind of blow-ups are always possible. I actually talked about it right before his start and told him how he's kind of like Tyler Mahle, where sometimes it's just the command just isn't there. It wasn't there for him his last time out, and he got sent down to the minors. Drew Smyly yesterday has another start where he really wasn't good. He was able to kind of hold it together for a little bit, but really wasn't good at all. And if we'd been facing an actual offense, it would have been a different story. But we weren't. The Braves' bullpen was also not sharp. The Braves kind of had to hold serve and try to force a way to victory that they really didn't much earn. But the offense came through in the clutch, driven by three home runs, one by Freddie, one by Austin Riley, and then another one by Dansby Swanson, who hit his third homer in four games, as he is on a very large streak right now. But the Braves' offense is able to come through. You had Drew Smyly went four innings, give up six hits, three earned runs, a walk in four Ks, really should have given up more than that. Jesse Chavez continues to kind of fall apart a little bit, gave up two earned runs in his inning. Richard Rodriguez worked a mostly clean inning, did allow one hit, but no runs. Tyler Matzik with a walk, no runs. Luke Jackson with a walk, no runs. Will Smith did allow two more base runners on, and we're going to talk about Will Smith because we're at this point now where it's done for Will Smith as far as my faith in him and being the highest leverage type of guy. But I'd be doing a disservice if I really didn't talk about the offense. And you guys know I'm not the biggest Dansby Swanson fan. I've never been on the Dansby's the best shortstop the Braves have ever had type train, or oh, Dansby's an elite shortstop in baseball type train. But for the last couple, really since the All-Star break, Dansby has been absolutely insane. He's been smashing the ball. He set a record for home runs by a Braves shortstop. He's now up to 24 on the season, 70 RBI. He's going to get to 10 steals at least. And a big part of that is he's cut his K rates down. He's down on the season to 24.7%. I believe since the All-Star break, he's sitting like 12 or 16%. Very, very small for him. The ISO's jumped up to 232. The walk rate's starting to climb a little bit. Sitting at right now 263, 316, 496. That's good for a 111 WRC+. He has jumped up almost 30 points since the All-Star break. He's about to hit 3F4. He's having a very, very good season. It's very streaky. His bad times were supremely bad, but the last month or so, or really since the All-Star break, he's been really, really good, so props to him for that. I'll want to see him carry it for the rest of the year because it's still going to be very important as far as the length of that lineup. As for Austin Riley, I've taken a lot of digs at Austin over the time, but he's at 25 homers now, 72 ribbies on the year for him. K rate 24.6, still hasn't touched that 25%. Walk rate's at 9.5. He's batting a 292, 369, 525. He is absolutely killing it. That's good for a 135 WRC+, and he's zeroing in on 3F4 as well. Austin Riley has been a big, big part of this lineup. To lose a Marcell Ozuna type and to have Austin Riley immediately become what we've been wanting him to become for the last couple of years, that's a big, big deal for the Braves. They've always wanted Riley to be that quintessential cleanup type batter. Now you've got him performing that way, and he's hitting for average too. It doesn't have to be 300. Him hitting over 290 is absolutely crazy. He'll go through little spells, but what he's done so well lately, really since that Yankees series early on in the season, is he started to be more consistent. And that's where the big issue with him was he would be great, and then he'd kind of streak, and when he'd streak, he'd be horrible. Now he's starting to be a little bit more consistent. He's starting to keep the short spells down, and he's starting to just continue to hit the ball well, and he's performing very, very well. Freddie Freeman, obviously, has been performing very well this season also. Ozzy Albies looks for a second like he might be coming out of his little slump. We'll see as it goes forward, which is good, because Jorge Soler's kind of, last few games, he's been kind of off a little bit. We'll see what happens with him. But overall, the Braves' offense has looked so much better as they've been able to kind of push it forward a little bit, reclaim the lead, and look to really make a big run here while they have a nice stretch of easy opponents, while the Mets and the Phillies kind of have some difficult to slightly more difficult than the Braves have schedules as the Braves look to really solidify their place at the top. I think they can do it starting this week with Miami. We're going to go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the pitching and Drew Smyly and about what the Braves could possibly do as we start to get back to full strength. So don't go anywhere. We will be back after this right here on Locked On Braves. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is brought to you by Stat Hero. Did you know 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention a bunch of experts who have more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance. Well, now you do. Introducing Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. Not taking on a bunch of everybody else, not taking on a bunch of experts, just you versus the house. You name the stakes, the winner takes all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else is going to do that. You are in total control. Stat Hero is DFS the way it was meant to be. One-on-one, mono, e-house-o. Play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up for free, and right now you can get three times back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That is unheard of in DFS play. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. That's stathero.com/lockedon. Welcome back to Locked On Braves, everybody, here for the middle segment of the show. We are going to discuss the pitching because while the offense was really good and good thing, the pitching yesterday was kind of hit or miss. And we've seen it with Drew Smyly for probably the last three starts or so of him now. He's kind of trailing back into that early season Drew Smyly mold. He's not getting hurt as much, so the overall numbers tend to be going down as ERAs drop to 4.5. His whip is still close to 1.4, which is not what you're looking for, but he's starting to hang a lot of pitches. And for a guy that you're taking out in the fourth or fifth inning, not really what I'm looking to see from him right now, making me a little nervous. And for Drew, he had that amazing stretch in about the middle of the season where he just started pitching phenomenally. Maybe he's tipping a little bit again. I don't really know. The walk rates really aren't that bad for him at 3.23 per nine. The strikeout rates, though, are still pretty much around where he's been his whole career when he's a starter at 8.15. Not particularly good. The ground ball rate is still a little too low at just under 39%. The FIP for him is where things are getting interesting. So the ERA is at 4.5. The FIP's at 4.93. The XFIP's at 4.64. So there's been a little bit of luck involved in Drew Smyly. And with the Braves, or with Tucker Davidson announcing on his Twitter account, actually, that it looks like Tucker's getting ready to make his the beginnings of his rehab down in Northport, all of a sudden, Drew Smyly's going to have to look over his shoulder here for a little bit. I don't know what the plan's going to be for Tucker, since he's been out so long. If he's going to come back to the Major League roster, I would imagine it'll be in the bullpen. But that does kind of bring up the point of who goes to the bullpen. Tuki Toussaint's going to pitch tonight. We'll talk about him a little bit more in the third segment, as well as the matchup that he's facing with Braxton Garrett. But for Drew Smyly, he can't just kind of laze around. He's got to continue to be really good. Just because Kyle Muller got sent down doesn't mean that Drew Smiley's safe. If you're a guy that's only going once or twice through the lineup, you're not really safe. You have to make sure that if you're going through twice, that you're being really good those two times through. Right now, Drew really isn't. He's kind of struggling. He's missing spots pretty badly. He's kind of lucked out the last two opponents he's faced have been pretty bad offenses, because those have been the opportunities for him to have 7-8 run type games. Luckily, the other teams just haven't been good, and that's a function of it too. But with Waskar Anoa coming back on Tuesday, Waskar took Kyle Muller's spot. Now, that's not to say that Kyle Muller might not come back and take Drew Smyly's spot if he doesn't watch out, or to say that when Ian Anderson gets activated, maybe he doesn't take Tukey's spot, maybe he takes Drew Smyly's and forces Smyly to the pen, and that takes out Jesse Chavez or Josh Tomlin. There's a lot of ways that this kind of pitching rotation for the Braves and the pitching staff in general can kind of shake out. We know that Max, and we know that Charlie, and we know that Waskar are going to be starters, at least for next week anyway. We also know that Will Smith and Richard Rodriguez and Luke Jackson, Chris Martin, those are going to be all key pieces in the bullpen. AJ Minter, we know that those are going to be key pieces in the bullpen. Outside of that, everything's kind of fluid. Everybody's got to kind of make sure that... Oh, and Tyler Matzek as well, I should mention, who's been the best reliever lately. But outside of that, you got to make sure that you keep earning your spot. Now with Tucker coming back, I don't think Tucker will be able to get stretched out really before this season ends, so I'm not counting on that for much, but I would not be shocked to see him in this bullpen, and especially him or Kyle. One of those two, if not both, will be in the bullpen by the time we get to the playoffs. I might even consider both of them, but it's certainly one of them, Tukey as well, I believe, because once we get to the playoffs, you don't really need five starters. But there's going to be a lot of ways to shake this out. You're not just pitching for your spot in the current rotation or bullpen. You're also pitching with an eye towards if you're going to be one of those factors if and when the Braves make the playoffs. So there's a lot at stake here for Drew Smyly. That's two or three in a row. I don't want to see him go through another stretch like he did early this season, and the Braves don't want to see it either. The Braves have some options now. If he's not performing well, then you know that you've got at least two other guys who have been good at points this season. Kyle Wright has still been okay. I don't think Kyle Wright is a real risk to take over anybody's spot. He's been okay in Gwinnett. He really hasn't been anything super substantial to me. I'm about to pull up his numbers here for y'all. But it's been encouraging to see him at least be able to handle AAA. Now, granted, the gap between the minors and the majors is pretty wide this year. In 84 innings, he's got 9.21 Ks per nine. That's right around what he had in 2019, last time he was really in AAA. 3.64 walks per nine. Again, not anything glaringly bad. I wouldn't say that it's amazing, but it's not horrible. You can live with that. He's not giving up a lot of homers, which is the big deal, because in the majors he gets victimized with home run balls. He's getting a good ground ball rate, 47.5%. He's got a 3.64 ERA with a 3.96 FIP, so it's not exactly where you'd like to see it, but it's not anything horrible either. I think that they might just say that he's going to stay down there for the rest of this year, so that might help out a little bit. But if Smyly and Tukey, if they don't start performing, neither of them should have any sort of real hold on a rotation spot for a team that's looking to get the most out of their team. So definitely Drew's got to look over his shoulder. The bullpen as well. Will Smith, who we'll touch on a little bit more in the third segment, Will Smith should no longer be in the position that he's in. It has been a very long time since Will Smith has pitched a clean inning. Even in ones that we say are low stress for Will are not low stress innings. He just continually puts runners on base, and we'll talk about that's just not tenable. We'll talk about that going forward. But the rest of this one. Tukey's going to get going against Braxton Garrett tonight. Now, Garrett's a guy that formerly was a pretty decent prospect in the Marlins system. He's been okay at times this year. I don't really know how I would really classify him. He's certainly not on par with a lot of the other Miami pitching prospects now. When they didn't have a lot of pitching, then he was kind of their big guy. But right now, he's significantly behind a lot of these other ones. He's a guy that I could see maybe ending up in the bullpen. Hasn't been particularly effective this year at 4.65 ERA. It's 1-1. Don't care about much of that. But he's not really... It's a far cry from what he was a few years ago. When there was a time when Braxton Garrett was considered as a top of the rotation type of arm. Certainly hasn't kind of shown to be that. So for Tukey, the name of the game is take advantage of this Miami offense and have your fastball command. That's the piece. If he's got the fastball command, then he should be able to handle this offense. Garrett in 31 innings in the big leagues this year, 8.71 Ks per nine, 4.06 walks per nine. That's a lot of walks. He'll give you free passes. Less than 40% ground ball rate, so he'll give up some fly balls. Doesn't throw particularly hard. He's got a 4.65 ERA, 4.05 FIP, so the FIP is significantly better. So he's had some bad luck, still hasn't been that great. So he's a guy that you can get to. And for Tukey, name of the game is fastball command. We already know he's got the curve. If he's got the splitter command, that's even better. But if he's got the fastball command, I feel like he can at least get you two times through the lineup. And you don't want to overly tax your bullpen if you don't have to. This Marlins lineup is not particularly good, so take advantage where you can. And get to Braxton Garrett early. It seems to me that the Braves, whenever they score early, they tend to score often. So that should always be the game plan. So don't go anywhere. We're going to go ahead and take our last break of the day. When we come back, we're going to discuss the bullpen and why Will Smith should be done in his area. And we'll talk about a little bit more coming up next. So hang on just a second. We'll be back in just a second right here on Locked On Braves. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is brought to you by the greatest protein bar company in the world, Built Bar. You guys have heard me talking about them nonstop for like 3 years now. And there's a reason. Built Bar is delicious. It's completely revolutionary. It's completely changed the game. Protein bars don't just have to be tasteless, disgusting bricks. Now they can be jam-packed full of flavor with awesome textures that actually remind you of a candy bar and give you the impression of the food that it says on the wrapper. Go to BuiltBar.com, try them out for yourself. If you use the promo code LOCKED15, you're going to get $15 off your first box. So go there, try them out, try a bunch of different flavors. You can put two of each flavor in the box. Try them out, you're going to love them. Try the salted caramel, try the birthday cake, try all their specialty flavors. You're going to like them all. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and get down to business. Try them out for yourself. I'm telling you that they're great, and I'm telling you, check me on this. I guarantee you, you will love them. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and try them out for yourself today. Today's episode is also brought to you by BetOnline. If you're a guy that likes to wager a little bit of money, a little bit of scratch, on any and all forms of sports, you're probably already aware of BetOnline. If you're somebody who's been trying to get into it a little bit, see if you're really as smart as you think you are, BetOnline is the perfect place to go. Why? Because it's not just sharps. It doesn't matter. They're not going to penalize you for being a beginner. They've got easy lines. They've got beginner-type lines. They've got advanced-type lines. They've got some games if you wanted to play, I don't know, blackjack or poker or roulette or whatever. They've got an entire set where you can play the actual casino games as well. BetOnline has something for everybody. All you got to do is go to betonline.ag. It's a perfect place to go. It's the only place I go to when I place any online wagers. You can go against basically any sport you can think of. You'll find it on there. The lines are very cool. They're always updated. You've got in-game lines as well. And if you have a particular line you want to bet, you can actually send it to BetOnline, and they will create a line for you. Don't take my word for it. Go to betonline.ag, and if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, they're going to give you a nice little surprise when you make your initial deposit. I'm not going to tell you, though. I'm going to make you go and do it and find out for yourself. Go to betonline.ag, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and get in the game. Put your money where your mouth is. Show off how smart you are with betonline.ag today. Everybody, welcome back to the final segment of today's episode of Locked On Braves for your first place Atlanta Braves for the first time this year, as the Braves are alone in first place, where I believe they will stay for the rest of the season. That all gets started tonight with Tuki Toussaint versus Braxton Garrett. Braves taking on Miami. Going to be first pitch at 7:10 East or Pacific or 7:10 p.m. Eastern time. As you guys can tell, it's a little bit of a, it's almost like a Monday for me here. Shocker of all shockers, as we got Tuki Toussaint, his 4.28 ERA, taking on Braxton Garrett, his 4.65. Tuki, though, the whip is the big difference here. The whip for Braxton Garrett's 1.71. For Tuki, it's 1.17. Tuki in 27 and a third's got 28 Ks. I'd like to see that number rise. Braxton in 31 has 30. For Tuki, I keep saying it all hinges on fastball command. He's got a really nice curve, but as I've said it over and over and over, it's not the type of curve that you can rely on purely on its own. It has nasty movement, and if you're not expecting it, or if you have other pitches that you have to contend with, then it's absolutely disgusting, and it's super hard to deal with. But if he doesn't have command of the fastball, it is slow and loopy enough to where it gives you ample opportunity to adjust. So it's the same thing. If he can have the fastball and the splitter working, that combination will help keep hitters off balance, particularly lefties. And that's the big issue, is that while that curveball has a lot of bite to it, and it's got a really weird, sudden drop, like it almost seems to rise and then just stop and fall. The problem is lefties have a lot of time to adjust to that, and he likes to backdoor it to lefties and frontdoor it to righties. And if you leave that up and you hang it at all, if they're expecting that and you've given them time to adjust it, that's when they mash it. And that's why that splitter is so effective for him when he's got it on, and that's why it's such an important pitch for him, because he really has to have that type of pitch in order to get lefties out consistently. If he's not going to locate the fastball, which has a ton of arm side run, then he's got to have another pitch that can be a little bit harder and get people off of the curveball so we can kind of freeze them a little bit and buckle them. So I'm interested to see what Tuki can do, knowing that he's kind of up against the wall. Kyle Muller, who had been better than Tuki in their times in the big leagues, Kyle Muller had two bad starts in a row, and he got sent down to the minors. And we're going to see Huascar Noah back tomorrow, thank the Lord. So for Tuki, he knows Ian Anderson's probably got one more minor league start. If he can get up to 85-ish pitches in his next start, that'll be the last one for him before he's a big leaguer again. So for Tuki, he's got to know that he's got to go out there and really perform tonight if he wants to maintain a hold in that, in the rotation, because I do think that it's between Tuki and Drew Smyly of which one goes to the bullpen. There is a distinct possibility that Tuki gets sent down, but there's also just as distinct a possibility if Tuki goes out there and performs and kind of shows and picks it back up a little bit and doesn't just show that he can weather not having a pitch. If he can just show right now that he can actually have command of multiple pitches like we saw in his first two outings, then you could see Chavez or Tomlin kick to the curb, and you could see Smyly end up moving to the pen and allow Tuki to stay in that rotation. I don't know if that's something they're going to look to do, because then you'll have four righties in the rotation. Personally, I don't really care about that. I think you should just pick whoever's pitching best and who gives you the best opportunity to win. If Drew Smiley's only going to go four innings anyway, then you might as well put him in the pen. But Tuki has to show that he can both be efficient enough to go six or seven innings, which we've seen him do, and that he can have consistent enough command where you're not flipping a coin every start about whether he's going to get you seven scoreless or whether he's going to give up seven runs in three innings. You got to have some level of consistency in order to stay in the rotation. Even if you end up piggybacking, which I actually think would be a pretty decent possibility here, I wouldn't be surprised if you do something like that. That can work out. That can be advantageous. I don't know that Snicker will be able to bring himself to do that, because he is still very traditional, but it would not be the worst idea in the world pairing a couple of these guys together, especially when you're talking about if Tucker Davidson comes back and he's pitching well, but they don't feel like he's got, you know, 80 pitch upside at the moment. I wouldn't be opposed to dipping out on Tomlin and Chavez and having two former starters be the quote-unquote long man in the bullpen and actually running them as more traditional piggyback options. The Braves have a bullpen that's full of guys that throw multiple innings. So I would not be opposed to doing something like that. I think that could work out very well. I think it'd be very cool for the Braves to be kind of one of the front-runner teams that does that. I'd like to see it. Doesn't necessarily have to be opener or whatever. Just piggybacking guys like you do in the minors might not be a bad idea. Don't do it unless they show you that they need it. But I'd rather you do that than lose out on somebody who's a better guy. Like, I would rather do that than lose out on Tuki, who's better than Josh Tomlin. I'd rather replace Josh Tomlin with Tuki, period, at some point. But I'd rather you not be a slave to the money that you're paying people and be able to just put the best players out there in whatever position helps you the most. Speaking of that, though, one of the guys that is not helping you in the position that he's in right now is Will Smith. And I know the numbers are fine and blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, you know, he doesn't, you know, he's been fine, really. I mean, if you think he's been bad, it's just because you're not that smart. Well, it's actually not true. If you think that Will Smith hasn't been that good, then there's a couple different reasons. Overall, base stat line really hasn't been that bad. It's not great. It's 3.70 ERA and a 3.72 FIP, which, you know, for a reliever, that's not bad. For somebody that you're saying is your highest leverage reliever, that's bad. The strikeout numbers are nice, almost 11 per 9, and that's what fools a lot of people. Without knowing, off the bat, that's the third lowest of his career, by the way. Or, I should say, the fourth lowest. His rookie season in 2012 was only like a not even 6 per 9. But other than that, that's one of the lowest of his career, actually. The walk rate at 3.33, one of the higher marks, the highest mark he's had since 2016. So he's walking a lot more people. He's given up a fair number of home runs. He's getting hit hard. That tends to be the key. Oh, the xERA is 3.43. I could not care less about expected stats. What I care about is what you're actually putting out on the field, and right now that is not good at all. He's actually been very, very lucky to not be worse than he is. His xFIP's at 4.23. His actual FIP's at 3.72. Not numbers that you want to see from somebody that you're trying to throw in the highest leverage situations. He's allergic to having clean innings. He always has to put runners on base. And the bad part is he doesn't just put them on base. He always puts runs in scoring position. So anytime he's out there, I never feel very confident. And you can say Richard Rodriguez gives up a lot of hard contact, too. We've talked about that. Richard Rodriguez is better by a number of statistics than Will Smith. Tyler Matzek is as well. Heck, Luke Jackson is as well. I mean, there's a number of guys that you could run up instead of Will Smith. Now, that's not going to happen. They're going to ride or die with Will Smith until he blows a few saves in a row, and then maybe they'll replace him. But for now, he's getting himself into trouble nonstop. It's almost like you know what's happening before it's happening. And for the Braves, that is not a recipe for success once you get to the postseason. Yeah, it might work out against Washington and their garbage lineup. It might work out against Miami and their garbage lineup. It might work out against Cincinnati and their hit-or-miss lineup. It's not going to work when you get to the postseason against the Dodgers or the Giants or the Padres if they make it, or anybody who's made it to the postseason. Their lineups are generally going to be able to take advantage of weak points on your team. And right now, Will Smith has been a weak point for a little while now, and he's got to figure out something. And I keep going back to it. It's the stuff. He does not have the stuff to miss location. If he's going to have low spin rates and low velocity, you have to hit your spot. If you don't, you're going to get blasted, and that's not somebody I want to trust this year late in the game. So get it together, Will Smith. Go on one of these little runs. Make me look like an idiot the way Dansby has. I don't really care. Do something, because right now Will Smith ain't cutting it. He is not very fresh. He's pretty foul right now. So I'm going to go ahead and end the show today. I've run a little bit long here. But Braves will be taking on Miami, 7-10 for the first pitch. And you got a three-game set here with a chance to really build a nice little lead here in the division as we get closer to the end of the year. Tuki Toussaint looking to see Tuki do fairly well against a lineup that he really shouldn't struggle with. Hopefully he goes out there and dominates. It's always more fun when Tuki Toussaint does really well. But it is Tuki time! So everybody out there, hopefully you enjoy today's episode. We will be back again tomorrow right here on Locked On Braves.